Hey, John, do you know what I hate?
What do you hate?
I hate fans that don't naturally interact with our posts on social media.
Really? After they're so plentiful and demanding of responses?
Yeah, or something. I don't know. I want to tell everybody out there, like, if you like this show, which you do because you're listening to it, post on social media about it. Like, say, hi, I like this show. Robert, which I don't know if he wants his last name said, he posted on Reddit for us. He said, hey, I like this show, and posted on Reddit, which was very nice of him. So go do that. Go do that on Reddit and Facebook and Twitter and I don't know. What else is there? TikTok? Is Vine still around? Go on Vine.
Go on Vine.
Post about
LinkedIn,
how you like John and
LinkedIn is good.
Yes. Make sure to email me for the next 8 years because I was mentioned on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Network is important. Networking.
Yes. So, yeah, do that. It'd be very much appreciated because it's the only way new people find the show, and new people finding the show lead towards interesting things. So, yeah, do that or just write into us on our various social media telling us to shut up. Either's fine.
And leave reviews of stuff. Leave reviews of our reviews.
Here's the thing. It seems like this is already asking too much, given how much they haven't done it so far. So I didn't want to overload them out there. Hint. Mm-hmm. Is that a hint? I'm basically saying they're shitty fans and they should do more for us.
Yeah. Well, we've done so much for them to interact with them. We posted twice. And what more do you want from us?
Here's the thing, guys out there. We've given you close to 4 years of free content with... I think there was 5 episodes with ads in it. So, you know, think about that. Like right now,
yeah, we had ads. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So think about that. Think about that right now. Like the amount of time we've saved not listening to us talk about fucking HelloFresh. So just share your shit on fucking social media and make me happy. Anyway, use promo code Alex.
use promo code Yell at Audience.
Yes, promo code Yell at Audience for a free post on social media. All right, cool. Hi, John.
Hey, Alex.
Do you know what I hate?
What's that?
Knuckles the Echidna.
Well, fortunately for you, he's not in Sonic the Hedgehog, this movie.
What about Vanilla the Rabbit?
No, possibly the next one. There has been screen like footage. Someone took a picture of a Knuckles type thing on the set of this. They're already making a sequel.
Okay.
So,
do you think it's going to feature Wave the Swallow?
I hope so.
Or maybe Whisper the Wolf.
I don't know if regular fans are ready for Whisper the Wolf.
Yeah. What about pregnant Whisper the Wolf?
Absolutely, America is ready. Right. I mean, the whole cast should be pregnant at all times.
Yeah. And then
barefoot.
And then have Tracy Morgan in the background just talking about how pregnant that cast is.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a question to start with, John. I'm going to ask you because you're the only person on this call. Is this the best video game movie of all time? And
no.
And let me just preface that. Okay. I'm not even saying I like the movie yet. It's just,
you know, but that's fair.
Because video game movies suck. And this actually was a movie.
Yes, I will grant you that this was a movie. That's I think where the agreement ends there. I don't think it's the best one. I don't know what that would necessarily be.
Well, that's why I asked.
Besides Super Mario Brothers, the movie,
which is exponentially worse and has a lot more 9/11 in it.
I will say this: Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat is terrible, like the original one. It's terrible, but it is the video game. They made a movie of the video game. Like this is, and I'm not defending the integrity of Sonic. I don't care. I've never actually played a Sonic game, but. Like, there was a whole world there. Why did you do this? Like, I understand. Well, I mean, the answer is probably money. That you're like, well, we'll make him be in the real world and do this rather than like pay for a whole like CG world and have it be a cartoon. But like, you dropped him. You did Masters of the Universe from 1980s, and you just put Sonic in it. It's like the same plot.
Yeah, they probably couldn't afford the rights to Storm the Albatross.
That's probably what it is.
I don't mind this as a... Yeah, I'm not a big Sonic guy either. I mean, I know a lot about the lore, as I've demonstrated from reading from something that definitely isn't a list of Sonic characters. And you know a lot about pregnant Sonic characters.
Yeah,
and
I know. Sonic, look, I just railed. Don't like... We just don't use names. You know, it's, we like to keep it fairly... You know, don't get too close.
So I've actually played...
Rule number three, never fall in love.
I've actually played... Sonic, I definitely played Sonic 2 extensively to the point that I'm pretty sure I've beaten Sonic 2. And I think I played the original Sonic as well.
I always thought they were very boring. I was a Nintendo guy.
Not my favorite. I was more of a Nintendo guy myself. I didn't like the whole gotta go fast concept behind it because you didn't actually have to go fast because the time limit wasn't all that time limity.
Right.
So you could leisurely go through the board and it's actually easier. Right. So it's just
gotta go leisurely.
Yeah, I mean,
which is how I treat going to the bathroom at work.
Yes. Well, it's one of those things. It's like in the original Super Mario, like you ran out of time pretty easily if you sucked at that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember that from Sonic. But anyway, I would say that as far as a movie being told from A to B telling a story, this might be the best video game movie ever made. Now, that just says that they really need to make a good video game movie because I would have loved this if I was 7 for how irritating Sonic is.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I've read several reviews about that, like super negative reviews that were really, really shitting on this. And I think this is a pretty insipid movie. But it's not for me. It's for a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And 10-year-olds like insipid shit. It's fine.
His kind of Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes-esque irritation... I feel like would have really spoken to me when I was young.
Yeah.
But for a movie that's obviously not aimed at us, I actually kind of liked it.
I didn't hate it. Like it just passed right through me. It's fine. Like I said, I think it's insipid.
You mean like a chili dog?
I think it's like a chili dog. It is. But it's dumb. Like, I couldn't help think about No Holds Barred and what a dumb movie that is, but how much I loved it when I saw it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, yeah, it's fun. Put this, I'm sure kids like it. It's great. It's got Sonic. They love it. It's great. It's not for me. And nor is it meant to be. There aren't think pieces about it. This isn't like a Marvel movie where it's, you know, they're trying to be like, no, this is actually for adults too. I think some of the jokes in there are supposed to be for adults in the sense that, like, you're probably watching this with a child and you would like to be somewhat entertained. But,
yeah, I mean, that's just ubiquitous with any cartoon. But I thought, I mean, for me, the thing that won me over was, and it sounds like I'm complimenting something, nothing, but the fact that it actually told a story from A to B and it's about a video game is remarkable. Because I've sat through video game movies before and they never do that. So that was good. And then, besides Sonic, I actually thought everybody in the movie was really good, which was a weird thing to say because he's supposed to be the movie. But like, I actually liked everybody else but the lead in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think Sonic didn't bother me that much simply because I like what is his name is
Schwartz.
Completely escaping me. Ben Schwartz. I like him, so I'm okay with. You know, listening to him be the same guy he is on Comedy Bang Bang all the time or whatever, just kind of annoying, but whatever. But generally, yeah, I mean, James Marsden is very much like, oh, I see you're making a movie. Would you like to insert actor? You know, like he's just the base character and he's fine. Like I said, this movie is not meant to be thought about. This movie is meant to be just consumed and moved on. And he's the perfect vehicle for that. He's affable enough. He's fine. You don't think about how he's upset because he wants to be a real cop in the city. You just kind of accept it and move on.
See, I'm not a big James Marsden fan. There's not much I've seen him in that I actually liked. And I found him charming in this. It's especially hard to act against, you know, a Sonic. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I guess they had a kid in a suit on set. I don't know what the hell they had on set, but like the scene, like especially the part where they go to the bar kind of early in the film, early-ish in the film, he was kind of charming and it felt like they were really bonding. I'm like, wow, I can't believe I'm falling for this. I'm like, oh, James Marsden is like acting at me. Like his acting is working and it's just weird. And his wife, I want to see in everything. I kind of fell in love with her a bit, but I think
it's just she was all right. But like, their dialogue is when it really got sitcom-y and grating for me. Particularly like when they're actually in danger and they're still, she's like, oh, you two. Oh, I love your thing and, your vibes. And I don't know, but, Tika Sumpter is the actress's name.
That part I didn't, it's fine. It's, you know, whatever. The thing that got me was when her delivery of that, I was really calm back there, right? Like you've noticed how calm I am, like the grasping at reality and complimenting yourself for not flipping the fuck out. I thought that's a tough little bit of business to deliver. Cause it's not great. I mean, like, as far as like dialogue, like just, it's just not great. Let's just leave that there. But beyond that, it's tonally, that's a hard thing to land. Like that's actually like a complex bit of, it was like, oh wow, this lady's really charming. And you know, she's a smoke show. So that too.
Sure. I
a smoke show is that's a term I use for objectifying women. I just want to make that very clear.
Oh, okay.
Like I'm treating her as an object. Like that's okay. I already got that. Cool. All right.
She doesn't own a chain of smoked meat places.
I'm not saying she can. She's a strong, independent woman. You know, but that doesn't matter. I'm only judging her by her looks.
But as long as she's pretty first.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Hey, you could be president of the United States for all I care. Just show them games.
So here's, speaking of actors, this was a thing I found kind of surprising, and it's a very minor thing. But character actor Neil McDonough is in this movie, and he's the like.
Oh, I love Neil McDonough. Yeah.
Yeah. When Dr. Robotnik shows up and he's like taken over from the army, and it's Neil McDonough playing this guy, and then you never see him again.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I thought he was going to be in it more. Doesn't matter. Just thought I'd point that out. But
yeah, no, he's great.
I like that guy.
Yeah, he was the like uniformed military guy in this movie. But he played a very over the top villain on a season or two of Legends of Tomorrow, that kind of batshit superhero show that's on the that's on the CW or whatever the hell that thing is. But his character, I don't remember his name, but like, is so over the top and he's so much fun in it. And I'm like, oh, I really like this actor. And then I went back on his IMDb. I'm like, oh, I've seen him in 700 things.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been in a ton of stuff. He's also great in, I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but there was this one season FX show called Terriers that I really, really enjoyed. And I think he played the heavy in that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very good. It's weird that he's in this for like 8 minutes, but I suspect this movie was highly edited.
Yeah.
It's got a futzed with feel that this was, you know, you could tell this wasn't the director or the writer's original.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Like I think, and this is kind of what I was getting at a little bit earlier when talking about like, why did you make the movie this way? Like with, you know, why did you not just make a Sonic movie? Why did you make Sonic Goes to the Real World? And that, like, I think, you know, they try to make these, what do they call them? Like four quadrant movies. Like they just want to make something that everyone can enjoy.
Yeah.
And so, and again, I feel like an idiot saying this about Sonic the Hedgehog, but like, there's nothing in here that isn't like you couldn't grasp. I bring this up because I was reading an article about is an interview with a screenwriter, the guy that wrote the new Mortal Kombat movie, and they're adding a character in that, a new character that's like an everyman guy, so the audience has someone to relate to. Who's seeing this movie? Who's seeing Mortal Kombat that doesn't know what Mortal Kombat is? I'm not saying like, oh, you have to be into the lore or whatever. But it's not that hard to be like, yeah, all these people, you know, oh, I'm Johnny Cage. I got to go fight people. It's like, well, we got it. And I don't want to do that because you have to cram a bunch of backstory into the character. No, you don't. It's Mortal Kombat. Calm down. But I think that's the case here is I think they try to do a bunch of stuff to like, we'll take this out, put this in, take that out, put this into like, this isn't testing well with this group. We need this group to be, you know. And so it demeans the purity of Sonic is all I'm saying.
Like with Mortal Kombat, when the movie's plot can be explained by the title, you don't have a lot of heavy. It's called Mortal Kombat. Like,
yeah,
it's Mortal Kombat. Done. You don't really need.
And I would argue that Mortal Kombat is like easier to, as much more ridiculous as it is, I think it's easier to understand than Street Fighter. Even though it's the same thing about like a tournament or whatever, but Mortal Kombat's like, yeah, this ancient evil guy and there's this like mythic, that's why there's people that shoot lightning. Whereas like, yeah, no, this is a thing of the best fighters and this guy stretches and blows fire. Why not? You know?
Yeah, Hyrukin indeed. So yeah, Sonic, I think the main thing is, what's added to that, I really miss Cream the Rabbit and Rouge the Bat.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
But you see, you don't want to Cream the Rabbit right away. You got plenty of time for that.
What about Cosmo the Seadrian?
That's going to be like in the fifth one.
Yeah, apparently it's in episode 53 of the cartoon series Sonic X. She basically is a Pokemon. Okay. So the other person we should talk about in this movie, and I thought we should talk about, you know, stuff before the plot because there's no plot. Is Mr. James Carey,
who
plays Dr. Robot Nick.
Eggman.
Okay. So here's a good thing for me to understand. He's referenced as Eggman. Like that's a reference. What does that mean? Is he Eggman? I thought Robotnik and Eggman were two different things in Sonic.
I thought they're the same guy. Like that's okay. Because he looks like an egg. I don't know if Chris Chan is listening or are there any other Sonic super fans want to call in and yell at me. They can, or email, whatever. But I thought they're the same guy.
I'm not saying they're different people. That's what I thought. Cause why is he? I thought he was called Eggman in one. Like I thought it was like a Koopa Bowser thing.
Could be. I mean, maybe his name is Eggman Robotnik. I don't know.
Mm. There's a scene in the film where Robotnik is in his cool truck, and on the what do you call those things? Fuse box. It says Badnik's Evil Lab. Which is Badnik another term for him?
No, I don't think so. Maybe. Badnik is the Badnik Horde is a group that appears in Sonic the Hedgehog comic series and its spinoffs.
Hmm.
So it's they're Eggman's robots.
Oh, okay. So so that's the robots. Okay, all right, cool. Asked and answered. So now I understand. I just miss Amy Rose so much. Manic the Hedgehog.
Manic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, he's like looks like a punk rock hedgehog. He's got like cool punk rock.
That just sounds like one of those.
John, he's got drumsticks. Let me finish. Oh. He's got drumsticks.
That just sounds like one of those characters that like Roger Myers Sr. came up with for like Itchy and Scratchy.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like if you pictured this character, you're right. Like that's Manic the Hedgehog is a 16 after Mobo Dune year old fictional character.
I'm sorry, 16 after what?
Mobo Dune.
Ah.
You know Mobo Dune?
You know what? I got to take that. Good Lord. It's even worse than I imagined.
Yeah. Back to Jim Carrey, which we're going to talk about.
Yes.
I think Jim Carrey might be perfect in this movie for this reason. Is Jim Carrey is a broken man. If you ever see interviews with him, he's trying to peddle that he's like super content and kind of zen, but you can tell he's like still in a lot of pain and he's like hurting inside. And boy, does that work for this role. Cause you can tell he's trying to be funny, but his eyes are still kind of dead and like sad because you know, Jim Carrey's in there and it's pathos and pathos and empathy. And like, oh, you could not have cast this better. And it was nice to see Jim Carrey again, even though he's dead inside. And I really hope he gets help.
There was a little bit of again, with this movie kind of being insipid and not meant to be worth thinking about. There was this sort of calming effect of like, oh, Jim Carrey's doing the Jim Carrey thing again. I like that. Okay. That's, I haven't seen that in a while. That feels nice. Kind of like back to sort of, you know, an Ace Ventura era. And I don't mind Jim Carrey as a serious actor. I like movies that he's in where it's dramatic stuff, but it was kind of nice to see him do stupid shit again.
I like him better as a serious actor, to be honest, but the serious stuff with his modern dead eyes made me, it worked for Robotnik. Because like if he tried to do like Ace Ventura now, which I think they're trying to do another sequel to one of his early movies, it's not going to work because he's got dead middle aged eyes. Yeah.
No. Well, you know what? It'll be about like his kid and him passing the torch or something. You know, they'll do one of those again, like with the new fucking stupid Ghostbusters. It gets brought up that like, well, the fans had an uproar and changed the design of Sonic, but I think in the realistically, everyone should have, because when you see what this Sonic looks like versus what like the initial leaks were, it's insane that it even looked like that.
Well, we should explain what happened there. That a few years ago when this movie was I guess you can't say done filming, but like when it was in like the kind of almost post-production stage, they started showing some shots of what Sonic was going to look like. And he looked like a hideous, disgusting thing with weird teeth.
Yeah, they tried to make him more human looking. They gave him human teeth and like normal sized eyes, basically like more human-y eyes. And it was really upsetting. And
it was not pleasant. Yeah.
And again, it's a case of like, the design's right there. You're making a hedgehog, a blue giant hedgehog. What are you doing? Why are you even trying to make it this way?
You also have like 30 years of game design. Like, I mean, you have so much reference material. But yeah, all right. So there was an uproar and they changed the design late in the thing and they actually pushed back the release of the movie.
I'm sure that was hell for everyone involved. So kudos to those people. But man, that should not have come to that. And it's better that they did that. Because, man, that thing was hideous looking.
Yeah, it was really, really unpleasant to look at. But it looks, I mean, other than some of the mouth acting, I thought Sonic looked good in this. Like, he was pretty convincing as a thing on screen.
Yeah. No guff there.
Yeah. There were some parts where his mouth was maybe uncomfortable, but besides that. But that's just mostly because I want to smooch him and make him pregnant.
Mm-hmm. But he weren't going to do that with the old one. That was part of the problem.
Yeah, the other one was more fuckable. This one's more kissable.
Yes, yeah, and that's
so fun. This movie opens. You know, when I listen back to this, it's going to sound like I cut a bunch of stuff there just because of the way I started that sentence. Every time I edit, I hear when I'm doing something, and I'm like, or when you do it, where it's just like, oh, that's going to sound so like I edited a chunk out, but no, it's...
Where it's like, we just had a half-hour conversation about kissable Sonic.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, especially where that happened. Yeah. So the movie opens and he's on wherever he's from or whatever.
Sonic Planet, yeah.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Why he's being raised by a bird called Long Claw or something like that?
Yep.
Which I think is the name of one of the swords in Game of Ice and Fire or Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Song of Fire and Ice. Why? What happened to his parents? What's the Sonic story? Is he like is he an orphan? Is he a Luke Skywalker type?
Don't know. Yes, he must be because he's a hedgehog being raised by an owl. I don't know. The movie also, we should say, like, I was kind of annoyed with this, where it starts with that like total cliche thing of like, it's an action scene and then freeze frame and Sonic's like, you're probably wondering how I got here. I hate that.
Me too. Yeah, it's really lazy. What do you call bookending?
Yeah, but I don't know. And again, like that's Sonic lore. So they bothered to introduce that, and then as it's just like that's how he got here. That's fine. But it also like the people after him don't seem that vicious. Like there are other cartoon people wearing like masks, but there's no indication that like they're gonna travel across galaxies to get him.
Well, they shot arrows at him.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
They killed his mom.
Well, we don't know that. She just,
Yeah, I mean, I guess she could have survived. She could come back in Sonic 2.
Mm-hmm. Long Claw's Revenge.
Yeah, I don't know. Because he also says, like, the civilized part of the universe all travel by these rings. So... is that planet where like those natives were chasing him with fucking bow and arrows civilized?
Sonic is a colonizer, basically.
Yeah. I also don't remember the game. I thought you just collected rings like you collected coins in Mario.
Yes.
I don't remember that having anything to do with opening up a warp zone to go to the Mushroom Planet.
I know there's a whole thing about Chaos Emeralds that happens at some points. I don't know Sonic lore. So if they misappropriated what the rings do, fine. I don't
also,
care.
Also, now that I think about it, so Longclaw says, go to this next planet safe, and it's the Mushroom Planet. Is that like a dig at Mario? Is that Super Mario World?
Yeah, you could say that. I don't.
Oh,
you know.
Shit, that's beef right there.
Yeah.
Sega Nintendo rivalry starting back up, even though Sega doesn't exist. And somehow they made this movie. How did Sega make this movie? Is this a Sega production?
Sega exists. Sega makes software now, mainly. Like they don't make hardware anymore, but they still make games.
Oh, they make games still? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, I guess Sonic still has games coming out. I haven't played
Yakuza
one since
series
the 90s.
And other stuff. Yeah.
The Yakuza series is Sega?
Oh yeah. Like you go to like Sega arcades. And you can play old Sega games.
No shit.
Yeah. I recommend Yakuza 0 a ton. That game is so fun.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about those.
Yeah, I put a chicken in charge of my rental properties. It's great.
Okay, Tom Nook. Yeah. I made a reference to that game. Okay.
You did.
So, what do we have to talk about as far as plot in this movie? Essentially, Sonic is like a lonely little boy in Montana after he escapes to Earth. And he... Mm-hmm. Fake befriends not Johnny Knoxville and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of cute, and he's lonely, and he lives in like a cool cave that if I was seven, I'd be like, this is the coolest cave ever. I want to hang out with this kid.
Yep.
He plays baseball with himself, and he's sad.
Yeah. And it's
not a lot to this movie, John.
No. Well, and here's where we start running into problems, because like, so he's playing, and the scene of him playing baseball with himself is funny enough. Like, it's cute. If I was a kid, I'm sure I'd go apeshit about it.
Yeah. Very, Bugs Bunny. Yeah.
Yeah. And he gets very bummed out, and, which I will say this, it's kind of irritating to me, is I'd much rather have a Bugs Bunny kind of character than like, too cool for school Raphael, you know, like I feel like that kind of just goofball, just almost like SpongeBob is kind of the same way. I think like, I think that's, there's not as many of those kind of characters around anymore. So often it's just like, he's a badass that also skateboards.
So you want, you're looking for cartoons. You're looking more for like a Michelangelo.
Yeah. A party dude.
Yeah. Now, what about someone that does machines?
No, thank you. No, he's the villain in this movie.
Yeah, give you a break.
So he gets sad playing baseball and starts running super fast around the bases. So much so that he causes a giant power out. Like, his emotions get the better of him, and he like shoots out blue lightning, which happens, I think, one or two other times in the movie.
Well, wait, because when he's running on the bases. At home plate, he times it so that the mother box touches home plate at the same time, and he resurrects Sonic the Superman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Just making sure.
Well, that's it. That's in the Snyder cut of this movie.
Oh God, I wish there was a Snyder cut of this.
Which I have a very, very nitpicky thing to talk about here, but I will. So in that bit, he's running around playing different roles in the baseball, like he's playing the pitcher and the catcher, and they're talking to each other, and then he's the batter, then there's the the third baseman coach is like, hit it over to right field, because then it goes to right field. There's him playing the guy in right field. At one point when he's running around the bases, the camera cuts to him as the third base coach going, go, go, but it's from the point of view is moving forward. Whose point of view is that? Because Sonic's not fast enough that he can see himself, right? Because that's a whole other ball of wax there, I think.
Well, I think what happens is that he runs so fast that he can see himself, and then he realizes that Iris Allen Sonic is no longer his future wife. Mm. And it becomes this whole Sonic Point paradox that has to be resolved in Sonic 2, The Revenge of Zod.
And that happens all in that while he's running the bases. That's amazing.
Yes, but only in the Whedon cut.
Ah. Yeah. It would have been better if he paused and goes, you're probably wondering why this shot is moving. And then that's how you start the second
I'd be
movie.
Really happy about that.
But yeah, so he causes a giant power outage that doesn't affect the cell phone towers. Odd, but who gives a shit?
Well, they have their own cells.
Right. I'm sorry.
What, you a fucking idiot?
Yes, I am. I'm talking about a Sonic movie.
Fair point, yeah.
But that gets the attention of the U.S. government, who calls in Dr. Robotnik to figure this out.
Sonic ends up hiding out in James Marsden's house. I just want to point out some dialogue that happened in this movie that made me go, oh, that was weird. So Robotnik is yelling at James Marsden. He's like, you know, when I was five, I've done more than you're going to do in your whole life. I don't know if this part, but he's just being a dick. And he goes, you know, you want to be back with your mom, just suckling on some baby feed. And James Marsden's response was, I was breastfed, actually.
Well, because he says something like, he said, I was spouting formulas when you were sipping formula.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, yeah. So it's a formula. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's weird enough. Because, gross. But, I mean, breastfeeding is gross, but just what a weird response to some weirdo that's at your front door.
Yeah.
Then that follows up with, nice, rub that in my orphan face.
Mm-hmm.
What a weird bit of, outside of the, what a weird fucking thing that just happened in this children's movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a lot of things that, have the cadences of jokes, but aren't jokes. Like, I mean, and that is a joke. Like, that's wordplay, but it's also very bizarre that it happened. Like, that's not a thing you would say to another human being.
I found it funny. It's just, I mean, I found it funny in the same way some of the shit I say on the show I find funny. Of like, why would a human say that? Like,
right.
why would a somewhat thinking human being say that to another human being? Oh, yeah, they're trying to fill up an hour on a podcast. This one, right. They're supposed to be on a door having a conversation, sucking on a chili dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the inciting incident that leads to Sonic and James Marsden becoming friends and going on a road trip together.
Which doesn't make any sense.
No, it does.
Okay.
Yeah, because road trip movies are easy to write.
Yes, okay. There you go. Yeah, because James Marsden thinks that there are raccoons getting into his shed or something, but it turns out that it's Sonic, and he shoots him with the tranquilizer gun. And that's when Dr. Robotnik happens to show up at the same time, and he realizes he needs to save Sonic from this guy. And so, like, drives Sonic away in his truck, and then is like, well, okay, I'm letting you go now. I promised I'd save your life because I got you in this mess. Now get out of here. Sonic, when he was drugged up, accidentally dropped his rings. Well, yeah, as we mentioned, let him escape to another universe. And the ring, he's about ready to go to the Mushroom Planet because he thinks he's in danger. But he sees James Marsden's shirt that says San Francisco, and in his drugged out stupor, after being shot with a tranquilizer gun, says San Francisco, opens a portal to San Francisco, and accidentally drops his bag of escape rings through there, and lands on top of the pointy pyramid-looking building down there. So he's got to get to San Francisco to get his rings, and he explains all this to James Marsden, and rather than James Marsden going, well, you run super fast, it's that way, he's like, get in my truck and I will drive you. And that does not make any sense.
Well, no, he did. He that scene happened, John. Remember, he runs to the ocean and comes back with a fish on his head?
Yeah. And then rather go, yeah, no, it's not east, it's south. Or southeast, you know, like giving him a map or something. He's like,
well,
no,
one, your geography there was shocking. It's west.
Yeah.
If you're in Montana, you go west.
not from the Montana I know.
Oh, God. Don't start with the flat earth shit again. You know how many times I've edited that out of fucking episodes? No, okay.
No, you can't edit out the truth.
You're right. In that he could show him a map, point him in a little bit better of a direction, show him a map. But they did establish. I meant it makes no sense in the, who cares? It's such nitpicky, whatever. It's a movie about a fucking talking hedgehog.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to drive anywhere is all I'm saying.
I know. As someone that's written enough dumb shit before, when you're writing for, I mean, not that I've written a children's movie like this, or like whatever, young adult movie, or whatever the hell you call this. Man, that's easy. I'm just like, I don't know, they got to do a road trip. Like, oh, it's so hard to say no to that. Of just put it together.
I get it, but yeah, it was just, I mean, it also, because he's looking for a friend, too, I get, but it's also just like, your whole thing is running fast. Where are you in a car?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, so they go on a road trip, and that's the whole thing. My favorite part of the movie was the early road trip where they go to the bar and then hang out at the motel. I thought that was charming.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, yeah, it was, again, it was kind of dumb because, like, Sonic basically starts a bar fight just because he's bored. He's kind of an asshole. But I thought it was funny how it played out. Like, the bit where he's like, oh, to the big guy, he's like, oh, you're going to get it, and, like, punches his face super fast, but because he's just a tiny little, you know, hedgehog.
Nothing really happens. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and those, that's a plenty fun scene. I enjoyed that enough.
Yeah, they do that same thing from Quicksilver, like that one good scene in the shitty, that Marvel movie, X-Men movie, mm-hmm. where Quicksilver's running around, where everything freezes and Sonic sets up, like, hilarious traps. Again, very talking to the 7 to 10-year-old. Little boys out there that want to cause trouble. Like, again, if I was 7, I'd be trying to cover my dad in toilet paper to make him stop drinking, just like Sonic did in this movie.
Yes.
Yep. Just stop hitting people, Daddy. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was fun. And then they have the bonding moment in the motel. I'm like, oh, this is effective. But I, at this point, stopped caring about this movie on a deep level of all of the cute stuff that could happen. I'm like, oh, this is established as cute, but the rest of the movie plays out one-to-one. If we had stopped it and said, Alex, write down the beats of this movie for the rest of the film, I would have hit 9 out of 10. Like, this movie is so fucking formulaic. The only thing that kept it going was I thought Jim Carrey was fun, and he showed up a lot.
Yeah. In fact, like, I like his interactions with his underling.
Oh yeah, that was great. Yeah. My favorite part of that is there's a sequence where Jim Carrey is I think the best Jim Carrey sequence, where he's dancing to some I'm Evil song.
Mm-hmm.
And then working out to it and doing like a whole holographic thing. And he's like in holographic computer land. It is great. And then his assistant shows up and he's like, would you like a goat milk, no fat latte or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Carrey's response of screaming in his face, of course I would. I love the way you make them. It's such fun. It's an easy joke, but
yeah,
I will take a yelling at your assistant in the face, positive things joke anytime. I don't care if it's been done a million times.
Well, just like the bit when, so one of the first things that happens when they're on this road trip is Dr. Robotnik sends a robot thing, a robot like truck tank after him, and they defeat it. And just when the assistant's there and he's like, did you get him? Oh no, man, they're survivors. And just like his very passive how he says it, for some reason I thought was very, very funny.
No, you're right. That was fun.
Yeah, but it is. It's very, yeah, like that kind of cute, whatever. It's like, well, we got to have a plot now. And just some of the stuff, like the bit where, because his wife, James Marsden's wife, is already in San Francisco, staying with her sister, who already hates him for whatever reason. And because she's going to look at apartments and stuff. There was a nice little plug for Zillow early in the movie with that. But But so she's staying down there, and while James Marsden is escaping, he has become like an enemy of the state. And but their whole, when he goes to visit her, that whole interaction with the sister is so painful. And then, I mean, the actress, the places, whatever, like, she's fine, but it just feels so forced and hackneyed.
And it's pretty stereotypey. Like, that is a stock character from from maybe like 1993, if we're being
it's a neighbor on UPN. Great.
One other thing, just because we're somewhat out there, I wanted to point this out, that complimenting the animation, I guess the animation director, I don't know who would be in charge of this, but there's a scene where during that fight sequence where Sonic is fighting off the things attacking the truck, where the truck explodes and then a motorcycle comes out of it, and then a motorcycle becomes a unicycle, and then a unicycle becomes a little helicopter, and it's a fun little sequence. But at one point, Sonic is running back into the truck, opens the door, does like a flip through the window and to get back into the truck, and then misses the door to grab it to close it, kind of wobbles a little bit, and then grabs the door and closes it.
Yeah.
That's really good, like, animation. Like, that didn't need to be there. Like, no one's gonna notice that but me. But that is such good character work. Like, what, way to go. Like, that was probably $12,000 to animate that little hesitation. But I saw it, I'm like, oh wow, good fucking job. That built the character for me. Like, the second he's calm, he starts fucking up again. That was a cool, good job, animation person.
yeah. No, little moments like that are great in animation. I love that. Like weird little bounces and stuff as well.
Yeah, it's just seeing him whiff the door was, but what a, you know, and probably behind the scenes, it's, oh yeah, we misanimated it, so it's cheaper to just do it twice. The door went slower than we thought.
Yeah. No, and it's, I mean, like, I think, again, with that, the redesigned style works better with Ben Schwartz's shit. Like,
yeah.
I can't imagine, like, that character, the way it was done previously, doing that or having that be, you know, tolerable with this weird human-faced hedgehog.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that bit, actually, like, the little bit of business after that, after it becomes the tiny little drone thing, which is funny, because when it becomes the tiny little drone thing, it starts cutting the roof off the car, and like in between cuts, it's moved like so far. Cause it'll be like, it starts cutting and Sonic's like, uh-oh, camera cuts to James Marsden reaction. The thing's halfway across the dash at this point.
Oh, I didn't notice
that. Across half the hood. Yeah. It's just like, I mean, it's fine. It's just, it's like, it's not moving that fast. But, when Sonic tries to stop it, it gets stuck to his hand. And that was just like a funny little bit, but, I got a chuckle out of that.
When it got stuck to his forehead, I thought it was fun. And then the James Marsden solving it by picking it up with a handkerchief, throwing it, and then it's still on his hand. I was like, oh, this is good little comedy.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's cartoonish in the way that I would like. And I think this movie is like that in a lot of ways. That it's just, if you're a kid, you're probably super excited about it.
Man, I mean, the end of this movie is just, they basically go to, the only other kind of character beat that's left is they finally get to the building in San Francisco after stopping at the wife and her sister's place for the, you have to meet the little girl to have a magical moment thing, which happens in every kid's movie, is on the roof of the building where Sonic gets his rings back. There's this moment of him finally making it official, like, hey, I don't really want to leave. You know, this sucks. Him growing as a person, James Marsden kind of growing, I guess, even though he sort of bonded with him immediately. That's pretty much it. And then there's just like a big ass fight with Dr. Robot Man, the egg person.
Yep. And another Sonic moves fast while everything is slow and throws some missiles around. The through line with James Marsden's, like, I want to move to the big city to be a cop instead of appreciating what he has in the small town. Sonic is very pissed at him about that through the whole thing. And I never really cared about any of that. Other than that, I think it's like, he decided to stay behind in the end, is to still be just the donut lord of, Green Hill or whatever they call
it. Yeah. It was interesting too that, so he's in the middle of nowhere. Why not go to like Bozeman, Montana, or like one of the, like somewhere that's just kind of a city. Like, it's just weird. San Francisco is, it doesn't really matter, but it was just in the context of the movie. Like, what a weird choice. Like,
Yeah. I don't know if it was because, you know, she has family down there, so it'd work out. They don't really get, it's more just like, oh, the big city, San Francisco.
I think they needed to make it clear that the sister was in San Francisco or somewhere close by, but like, it wasn't, anyway.
That's where all the crime is. Because those freaks on the left coast.
Yeah, how dare they with their BLM and their, protests or whatever the hell people bitch about. During the fight, there's a, what I found interminable, but I think at 7 I would find a delightful sequence of Sonic throwing rings and being chased by Robotnik to the Seven Wonders of the Ancient World, which is not what they're called, but, you know, the Great Wall of China, etc. He blows up the Sphinx, which is a fun little bit of business. He basically gets back to Montana, I think. Who cares? Wherever the action sequence is taking place from. And Sonic looks dead.
Right.
There's a fun line of dialogue that is kind of brutal, but Jim Carrey delivers it great, where he says, I don't mean to be indelicate here, but could someone get some ice to keep the body fresh?
Yes, yeah.
I hate that I laughed at that.
I hate that during that whole interdimensional chase, that Jim Carrey is not like, I'm traveling through, I'm folding space. He's just along for the ride as well and making the same stupid jokes. But again, yeah, if I'm 7 and watching this, a French guy just said Sacre Bleu. Good God. That is the funniest thing. I love it.
Yep. I found that slightly annoying, but if I was young, that would really, really amuse me.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be indelicate here, but I just try to keep Sonic from rotting. That really got me. Oh, the other thing the other kind of annoying thing in this kind of end of the movie that I felt pity to every parent around was they cut back to the sister's apartment or house, and she's still tied up on the couch, and her little annoying kid is running around Naruto style with the arms behind her going, gotta go fast.
Yeah.
And it is so fucking irritating that it's adorable because I don't have children. But the amount of annoyance that caused American households for fucking children to see that scene right there, I found amusing. Mostly because I'm actually a trickster deity and not.
Well, like that was definitely a moment that to me that was in there for kids and families to be like, ah, yeah. Like the same thing where they're in the, when they're like fighting the Dr. Robotnik thing on the road for the first time. And there's the family that's like, you see the inside of the van and the kids are in the back, like arguing over a laptop because they want to watch something. That's like, I will turn this car right around.
Oh yeah.
And I don't remember what exactly happens. Someone hits their car or something and it spins around. And
those, the kids like, those disc things shoot under the car and shoot an AMP editor. Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, that was just like, oh, that's us. That's our family.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Honey, that's you. Like, oh, that's like little Sally. She's running around saying she's so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that reminds me of Bean the Dynamite.
Okay. Now I'm confused. There's an animal call. Is it?
I'll happily tell you. Bean is a character from Sonic the Fighters. He's obsessed with bombs. In the Sonic comics, Bean is.
Oh, did it just get saucy?
No, it just got. I'm going to read this the way it's written. In the comics, Bean is show as a crazy woodpecker that loves shiny things.
Mm-hmm.
That so tracks. He likes bombs and he's a woodpecker.
Uh-huh.
And so he therefore is, he's Bean the Dynamite.
Right.
Sonic defeats Dr. Robotnik by shoving him through a wormhole to the Mushroom Planet. And it's a nice bit of CGI. Like the special effects in this look great. It's a really pretty movie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not pretty, but it's a well right, put yeah. together film.
I mean it looks like a commercial. I mean basically like it's
yeah.
It's shiny and flat and whatever.
Yeah, so he gets shot through the wormhole back to Mushroom Planet or to Mushroom Planet. And then we fast forward to James Marsden has retaken his job as sheriff. Everything's great. And there's an inexplicable sequence, which goes back to this movie got chopped up from its original form, where the military guy shows up and gives him
God.
A Olive Garden gift certificate.
Well, the fact that it's like the head of the military and not like just some guy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we got to bring this back.
But he James Marsden referenced the Olive Garden in an offhanded comment early in the film, but it seems like this was a through joke that got edited out. So this doesn't make any sense now. But it's a weird fucking scene. I don't get why it's there. But anyway, it's revealed Sonic is there. And there's this adorable heartstrings pulling moment where it turns out they rebuilt his little cave in their own attic. And it's like when they brought Caesar home in Planet of the Apes.
Right. And Sonic will rise up and kill them at one point.
Well, that's what I'm hoping is the next movie is Rise of the Sonics.
Yeah.
Is that everybody through a virus gets infected. Because they don't know. He's a fucking alien. He could give some kind of alien virus.
Right.
And everybody gets horribly transformed.
Well, and he is superior. He's faster. He's bluer. He does that floss dance from Fortnite. You don't see James Marsden doing that.
I 100% tell you that they filmed the scene where James Marsden does that floss dance.
Ugh.
There's no doubt in my mind that they did not film that.
Wait, there's no doubt in your mind that they did not film that. So they like he refused to do it?
No, John. What they did was I misspoke and used the extra negative in that sentence. Is what happened, Mr. Smarty Pants, with your I know how English works and can say sentences well.
That's me. True.
You know, some of us have spent the better part of 30 years fighting mental health issues, and maybe our language center is kind of deteriorating a little bit because of it.
Not me. Everything's going great. I'm a 40-year-old man watching Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, but to be fair, you've watched it more than once.
That's true. This is my second viewing of it.
What an asshole.
Yep.
I've never called you an asshole before, and I kind of felt good about it.
Good. I'm glad you got something out of this.
Because technically, this is your fault I sat through this movie.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. And then at the end, the dog puts his little red rocket inside of Sonic, and that's how he becomes pregnant in the next movie.
Yeah, that's how it ends. And then you see Tails at one point.
Is there Tails?
Yep. They tease the next movie.
Where did that happen?
In the credits.
The credit sequence I saw was Robotnik is on the Mushroom Planet.
No, that's before the credits. That's just in the movie.
Oh, there's another one after. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Shit. All right. Yeah, I didn't see that. Great. We get to see. So Tails and then Robotnik's on the Mushroom Planet and Jim Carrey's fun. So, you know, good for him. If I can summarize my opinion on this movie is that if you have a kid and you're fine with being annoyed by your child, like, yeah, this is totally, this is like a movie you should watch. Yeah. Like, man, if you have a kid, this is like exact, this is such a dumb, good kid movie.
Yeah. Like just put it on in the back of your minivan or, you know, if you're traveling, if you're on an airplane with a child and that's available, just 100%. Make them watch it. Yeah. It's fine. Like I said, I think it's dumb as hell, but it's not for me. So I it's hard to be mad at it, you know, cause it's, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, for a movie that's not aimed at me, I kind of liked it. I'm never gonna watch it again, but it was fine. You know,
I'm sure I would be much more irritated if you made me sit and watch like the Trolls movie.
Yeah.
Or something like I think you could do worse than this if you were gonna watch. I think you could probably do better than this as well, but yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, that's Sonic the Hedgehog.
We did it.
He's gonna make you pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So, John, as we do sometimes every week, we like to tell people some of the good stuff we've been watching or enjoying or whatever and reporting back and telling them at home in a segment we like to call Unnamed Segment that used to have a theme song, but I found that actually kind of irritating, so I stopped doing it, starring John and Alex. John, do you have anything to tell the audience about?
So a couple of things this week. I rewatched Four Lions. One of my absolute favorite comedies of the 21st century, if not just in general. It's got Riz Ahmed. It's got, I'm forgetting the actor's name right now. One moment, let me look it up. But he's, if you watch What We Do in the Shadows, he is Nandor. Kaven Novik, if I'm saying that name right. It's about four Islamic terrorists. And it is, it's hilarious, but it's not like, it's very humanizing at the same time. It's not like them damn crazy foreigners. Made by Chris Morris, who's one of my favorite English satirists. So, who if you've ever seen The Day Today or Brass Eye, he's pretty great on those. He's, if you ever watch The IT Crowd, he's the boss in the first season. Very, very funny guy and very, very funny movie. I also watched independent filmmaker Monty Hellman died this week, unfortunately, and I watched Tulane Blacktop with James Taylor and Warren Oates. Great movie. Love that one. Highly recommend it. I don't even like Cars, but I like that movie. And Creepshow started up again, a new series on Shudder, which I did not really care for the first season that much. Like, it was very, you could tell where the budget was, how low budget it was, and it just, a lot of it just didn't work for me, but the two episodes I've seen so far, I've really enjoyed. So, all of those are great.
Creepshow, fun story that happened with that is a younger person that I'm friends with offered a conversation to me, asking me my opinions on Creepshow. So of course I gave it. And then 15 minutes later, realizing there's a TV show called Creepshow, not the movie I watched in the 80s.
Yeah.
And, I felt very old, very, very old.
Yeah.
So the thing I have to recommend, and this is going to shock everybody here, it doesn't involve like a cartoon at all.
Oh, is it Sonic?
Well, it was Sonic. No,
it was Bean the Dynamite.
I didn't actually finish it because I didn't have time, but I ran out of time, but I really enjoyed what I saw and the subject matter is ridiculous. It's called Mansfield 6667. Have you watched this?
No.
It's a documentary / musical about the last 2 years of Jane Mansfield's life, that old kind of bombshell actress. Apparently, she like started hanging out with Anton Zander LaVey, the guy that's founded the Church of Satan.
Yeah.
And like, it's shit got weird. Like, one of the theories about how she died was that he cursed her husband to die in a car accident. And then they both died. Her and her husband actually died in a car accident in some random twist of, you know, monkey paw cursing. It sounds banana. So I've only watched the first little bit of it, but I enjoyed what I saw. And it's, you know, it's got the leader of the Church of Satan. It's a musical and documentary.
Wow. But
you can't miss.
Yeah. I knew about the Satanist stuff because of this comic, Scud the Disposable Assassin, by Rob Schrab.
Oh, yeah. That's Rob Schrab. I knew that.
And at one point, they, like, one of the villains is the the head of Jane Mansfield, and like she puts curses on people and does satanic stuff.
Oh, that's
stuff.
Fun. Yeah. Yeah.
But that show sounds pretty cool. Where can people find that? The internet?
No, it was somewhere good. I just can't remember where the hell it was. Can you look up Mansfield 6667 and see where it's streaming? My keyboard is not sending signal. I think I may have stolen it.
Okay. Well, it's on Tubi. It's around. Yeah. It's streaming. It's rentable. I guess you can just say that.
Yeah, anyway. So watch that. Possibly. I don't know, the end of it could turn out like shit, but yeah.
It was all a dream.
Yep. Used to read Word Up magazine. All right, so for next time, we're going to watch Arrival. It stars Lois Lane, Hawkeye, Saw Gerrera, so all of your favorite characters from all of your favorite movies, mm-hmm. together at last, under the helm of Denis Villeneuve, which I don't know how to say his name, so I just said it like that.
It sounded fancy. No, that's good with that. Let's go with
perfect.
That. Oh, and a serious man is in it.
Who's the serious man?
Michael Stuhlbarg.
Oh, that's perfect. So the 2016 movie Arrival, not the 1992 or whatever Charlie Sheen movie, nor the 1986 Charlie Sheen movie, The Wraith. They'll feel free to watch those. It's a movie. We'll talk about it. It's going to be great. I don't want to give anything away. If you don't know anything about this movie, watch it cold. I think as much as I don't care about spoilers, this is one of those movies that I'm glad I didn't know anything about going into it. So as much as you can preserve that, do that.
Well, I'm already depressed because there's a character in this movie named Dr. Kettler, and he's played by a man named Frank Scorpion. And I thought there was a character in the movie named Frank Scorpion. And now I know that that's not true. I don't want to watch this movie anymore.
I mean, obviously that is his name, and he's just kind of hiding it.
Yeah.
Actually, obviously he's a shape-changing scorpion. Right. They couldn't figure that. Yeah. That panicked. That didn't take scorpion improv classes.
Yeah.
They
just said, "Who are you? I'm Frank Scorpion."
Scorpion. Yeah. What do you do for a job? Not stab people.
I stay away from pinching.
I hate being in shoes in the desert. Yeah. All right. So we're going to do that. Watch the watch Arrival.
Mm-hmm.
And
as we
said in the beginning, keep watching the skis. go on to your social media and share this show places, because I would very much like more people to listen. I mean, there's no consequences. I'm not going to say I'm not putting my foot down. Just, you know, like be a pal. You know, do that. Like, yeah. Even if you got like 30 people following you, you know, maybe one will listen. You can be like, hey, look at that. We got one more listener.
Look at that. Or listen to that in this case.
And here's a big hint to our listenership. I would probably notice if one or two people would listen. So, you know.
Ooh, three this week.
Hey, I know we've got reasonably good mics and we try to edit the thing and try to be as professional as possible, but wink, you boys need help. All right. So yeah, do that. We'll do that. And we will reconvene in the future to talk about Arrival.
Arrival.
Bye.
Goodbye.